Welcome to Two Girls with Grief podcast. This is a part two of a two-part episode. If you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen so you're all caught up. We're your host. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Rachel.
A podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears or there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals. We're just professional grievers. This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want to support someone dealing with grief, and those who just want to learn about grief. For any potential triggers, as always, please check the episode show notes prior to listening. Without further ado, welcome to episode 6, part 2. Everything you've been taught about grief is wrong. And I think it kind of goes into like our next thing we want to talk about with grief. I think that also stunted me kind of making any progress with grief is thinking at some point I'm going to be back to the person I was before grief. And that there's going to be a path back and then I'll be this happy person. Everything will feel good again. Sometimes you're kind of searching for that pre-grief person. And then you realize that person doesn't exist anymore. That person has been through hell and back and is still figuring it out and still working on it. There's only a new normal from now on. And you have to figure what that is and be okay. I would say like, as far as like, you want to be happy with your new normal as much as you can be, but yeah. You really have to figure that out and spend time doing that. But I think sometimes I think people even that see you grieving or kind of that haven't experienced grief are waiting for you to be the person before grief. And that's just that person is gone. And yeah. I think that's the hard part is that people think that it'll just grief will touch you. And then you kind of go back to the person. And that's just completely different. I am so different than the person that I am when I've been through all of the loss, especially. I just kept losing the people that I depended on for everything one by one. And it just made it harder. And just dealing with health issues and stuff, it's like it changes you and it challenges you and it puts you in positions of just testing your love and your faith, all these different things. And then you see the world differently because you experience kind of the lowest of lows with that. So you just value things differently. I mean, you see things differently. And I think what's hard is coming back and still feeling the same connections to everyone that was in your life before that doesn't get it. Yeah. I think that's what's hard is I definitely had a ton of friends where I realized like, oh, they're just kind of fun friends. And I don't think there's anything wrong with fun friends, but you have to know that they're fun friends. The friends that you go out with that are not deeper connection. I also had a lot of friendships where they highly relied on me for support, people that would go to me for all their problems. And I am no longer that person that can take that mental load for people. I no longer have those friendships. And not that you can't call me you're having a bad day, but if you need to call me 5 times a week to cheer you up about some, you probably need to talk to someone that actually is experienced in handling that, you know? And I realized there is that balance and I just can't take that on anymore. And I think I had a hard time because I was a person that like, I'll help you. I'll find a solution. And it's like, why am I trying to offer help to people when I'm freaking sad? Like I'm in a bad place and I'm trying to fix your problem. Like Rachel, get a grip, take care of your damn self and stop worrying about trying to fix people. I think that's what's hard is you also have to readjust to the new person that you are and what you can take on. And maybe even the things like detaching even things that you did before grief that were not good for you anyway, you know, and finding that happy place at the end of what you can with yourself. But I think that was a hard thing where I want to be back to that person and I'm just, that's gone. And I think, you know, I've grown in many good ways, but also it's just really hard to have so many changes that you didn't even want. What is your experience? Did you think that, did you feel different or did you identify that quickly?
One of the changes I noticed while I was grieving started off subtle and then grown a lot over time. And the first changes I realized was physical changes with myself. I used to be super blonde and my hair like got darker over time. And I'm pretty sure if like, I tie it back, it was like, because 4 years ago, I went through like a horrific, stressful experience and like my hormones completely changed and that just reacted with my body and the circumstances I was in. So like my hair changed colors. I was growing gray hairs at 24. My voice changed. My voice got like darker and deeper and like crispier. Like I used to have a more brighter voice and it was interesting that like after I don't know if like crying so much changed that I just don't know if like I just became like a little bit of a I have no clue. I didn't even notice it until I was like watching a video of myself a couple years before my dad's loss, and like I just had a whole different demeanor about myself, and then I was just like brighter, lighter, airier. My voice sounded sweeter, just kind of chirpier, I guess. And then now I feel like you could tell I've grieved something now. It like hit me, and physically I changed, but then also mentality wise I changed a lot. I'm a lot more sensitive to like everything. I'm always crying. I get angry at things that I used to never get angry about. I also have a lot more tolerance to things that and patience that I used to not have. So I feel like in some ways I'm a complete 180 of who I used to be. And in some ways, yeah, that's good. In other ways, I do miss that girl on the other side prior to the loss than I am now. I've now experienced true life and death. You and I had talked about this before. You can tell that with people. So obviously with changes and not being the same person, not only do you change as a person, the life and the years and the celebration also change with that. As we were talking earlier before we got on the call about Christmas has a very different connotation now to us. So how do you feel about finding new traditions after loss?
I've struggled with that a lot because at holiday functions, I tend to feel like an orphan. And I mean, I literally lost all my family besides my brother. So I definitely feel like an orphan. And I also feel like it's something that's kind of on people's faces. I think it's on top of mind for a lot of people when they see you during the holidays too. And I just don't like that feeling. And I've been testing out different things because I realized that just going back and trying to act like everything is okay or normal in situations doesn't really work for me. And I'm trying to figure out what, like, I might travel more during holidays. Last Christmas, I spent it with my dog watching Hallmark movies and just made myself some of my favorite food. And I feel like the most at peace Christmas I've had in a long time because I chose what I wanted to do and it was something different than what I've been repeating. And I felt comfortable and I was in Christmas pajamas and I just watched cheesy movies and I had really good food with me and my dog. And it was very peaceful. And I just realized like I can decide that. And people kept, are you sure you're going to show up to the party if you want? And I think people were taking it as they're so worried for me and putting pressure like this obviously isn't what you want. You know, you're just being sad. And it's like, no, I'm making a decision to make myself happier during really hard time because November 9th is my mom's birthday. It's Thanksgiving, Christmas. Oh, yeah. It's like the holidays just make you think about it. My dad passed away October 14th. There's no break. There's no break with anything. You lose to people. It's like there's something on every freaking month. You can't get away from it. And you really have to figure out how to function and how to make choices that benefit you and not just doing what you think people want you to do or give you pressure to do. Because I realized when I do that, I'm just not happy with that decision. I need to make my own decisions and I can be okay with them. I can decide that I'm going to try something else for the next year, but I'm going to decide that for myself. I've been working on finding new traditions that make me happy, and not everyone might understand, but also not everyone has lost all their freaking family, like most of their freaking family on the holidays. I'm figuring it out, but I think I'm trying to find new traditions, and I think a lot of people just feel really weird for the holidays. And sometimes you just need to do something different. And holidays are just not the same anymore. And you gotta figure out how to make it happy for yourself because it's like you want holidays to be happy, but it's really hard. So
you also don't want them to be horrible and traumatic and sad and sitting there in the dark by yourself and being like, this really sucks. That's almost more harmful than good.
You need to figure out like what works for you and just try it out. You know, probably closer to the grief being around people is probably recommended, I would say. Having some time, I think I can decide. It just holidays had been, especially for Christmas, they've been at this one house all of Christmas. You just feel the loss continually. And so I think deciding like, okay, I need something different. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend being alone in the dark, period, with your feelings, because I've done that too. But what are your thoughts on Christmas and or just like finding new traditions for the holidays?
Yeah, it's, and especially as we approach them, they're coming up soon, so it's good to have a plan in advance of what you want to do and think of your excuses if you're invited to a whole bunch of parties and you know you're not going to be mentally good about being there, to at least communicate to the host and be like, listen, it's not a you thing, it's just like I can't be here, it's not good for my emotional state, it's not good for my mental state. And then most likely people will understand. I'll say with families, it's always a little harder, like going over to my aunts and uncles, and they have their nuclear family, their immediate family, and then just feeling kind of like, man, I wish my dad was here to be a part of this. Like it does come with a whole new set of rules. But I think one, knowing where you are mentally, and if you have like the energy and motivation and that's going to be helpful to you, then go out and embrace that, of course. And if it's not, like, it's good to kind of identify that in advance rather than going to an event and then seeing all these families hanging out. If you have lost a fiance or a spouse and then you're seeing all these couples, that's probably really hard to watch too. Or if you've lost a child, seeing kids run around and be happy, I can imagine that's really difficult on the heart and the soul to watch. But also know, like, you are 100% allowed to make a different decision the day of. If you sent an RSVP and you're like, you know what, I'm not feeling it today, or vice versa, if you put in like, hey, I'm not going to come, but then the day of you're like, hey, I really need to actually get out of the house and be around people. Like, I think a lot of people are very understanding to that. And especially if they know how hard the holidays are, finding new traditions is obviously like a good way to go about it, because then you're not reverting back to previous memories on a day that's supposed to be happy. Yeah, same thing with you. Like, I've started creating my own little holiday things. I don't stress myself out anymore with the holiday stuff. Don't do that to yourself. If you think you need to put on the whole Christmas dinner and everything has to be perfect, no, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. It doesn't matter anymore. Like, I'm like taking myself out of that equation. It's been a great thing for me. On Thanksgiving last year, though, my brother and my sister's boyfriend came over, and we all had a cocktail. We all had our own thing, like, we're going to try out this holiday cocktail. And it was kind of like a cocktail competition that evening. So, like, I skipped the whole family dinner. I didn't need to be at that. But then they came over to my house, and we had like four different holiday cocktails. And that was a lot of fun. That was like a new thing. And my sister's like, this could be a new tradition. And I was like, yeah, like, we're adults now. This is fun. We've never done anything like this before. That's something like kind of just came out of whim. But something like that, I think, is really helpful. Like, find the people who are supportive for you and good for you, and see if they're willing to like bring in this new tradition with you. And that's something to like look forward to that isn't so based around like the movie image of what Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving dinner should look like.
I wish you had told me that last Thanksgiving, because I made 13 different items for some godforsaken reason. And I was exhausted, and I don't know why I did it, but I did. I think sometimes it's like focusing your energy on something, so it's like you're not sad about the holiday, so you just like work yourself to death just like doing everything. I'm not saying that I figured out the perfect solution, but yeah, that was not great.
Have you watched like that one episode of The Bear? Have you watched The Bear?
I haven't watched The Bear, and everyone says to watch The Bear, and people told me that they think my sister liked The Bear. I need to watch it. I just haven't watched it. I need to.
Yeah, it's like, it's about food, but it's also about like family trauma. And if you've watched The Bear and you know what episode I'm talking about in season two, but it's like the exact thing we're talking about. Weirdly, the stress in the kitchen and having a whole family dynamic might not be good for everybody in the long run. We're all trying to put up appearances like this is the happiest day of the year and we're so happy, but there's so much underlying tension for everything. And weirdly, it always comes out like stressful in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's not spoiling anything, I don't think. So when you watch it, if you do, let me know, and we'll debrief,
because
that is, it's a dynamite episode, honestly. One of the best episodes I've ever seen on TV. But that's a separate podcast conversation.
We're going to do a live watch, a live podcast of watching The Bear. That's our next spinoff.
Play by play.
So we're getting to the end of things that we, you know, that you've been taught that we think are wrong. And so our last two topics, but one of them is, I feel like accidentally trauma dumping when you're trying to support someone. I think I see, and I sometimes have trouble with that too, because I think when someone that is going through a hard situation and you relate to, or they have a question about something, people want a little bit that you understand when you give them advice or support. But I think it's a very fine line of, okay, you asked me about this, and then I'm trauma dumping my situation on you to show you that I understand because I've been through this. But I think often in that retelling of the trauma that you understand them, you get lost in the actual support, because you're just like, oh, I understand. If you are saying, oh, like, I've lost my dad, how do I help this? And I'm just like, oh, I lost my dad and this and this, and then I lost my mom. Like, it's just if I kept, it's like, it's very easy to just continually, they make it about you on accident. You're trying to form a bond. You're trying to be supportive. And then you just word vomit into the, it's about me. And I see that so often, even in like support groups, or someone will ask a question. And even it could be something like, I saw something about like asking about dating and grieving. And we're going to have an episode on our thoughts on that in more in depth. That's going to be a little spicy because I have so many thoughts on that. And someone asked, and I realized, like, I saw all the comments and everyone wrote like paragraphs of their experience with it. And I was about to reply, and then I realized, I put a forewarning of like, it can be really difficult. Know when you're ready. You're a different person at the end, you know, so figure out like what you need and what you need support from someone, all these different things. So I made it about them and the little bit of insight among you, but like very little. And I realized like that was actually helpful versus like I could have gone on and on, and I will in our episode where it's applicable, but I could have gone on and on about my experiences with it and how hard it went, blah, blah. And that's not helpful to the person when they're just asking, like, what do I do for me? You know, but it's so easy to that to slip. So I think that's a hard one where when you're trying to support someone and you're trying to find that connection and the camaraderie, you need to watch where you make it trauma dumping on someone that has already experienced trauma and at this time is not asking for that. I think that's really hard, especially with people that are dealing with any type of sadness or trauma of any type. It's really hard when you're just trying, you're like, oh, I do get it. I relate to you. I relate to that situation. And it's really hard to not circle back. And it's like a story about you. And I think that's hard. And I try to catch myself when I do that. I'm sure there's probably many instances where I haven't. But I think it's really hard, right? Because it's hard to figure out, when did you actually not help this person by then just telling them, you know, like it's a hard thing. And I think a lot of people don't catch themselves. You're kind of sometimes just like happy that someone gets it and you can relate to it. And maybe you have something to share about it. And you're like, oh, from this, I have wisdom. But I feel like that wisdom and that the actual helpful part can get lost in the stories that compound on top of it. And I even had people that were reaching out to me. This is where I'm like, was I being sensitive? I'm not sure. Were people reaching out to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, you lost your sister, blah, blah. And then they kind of made it more like, oh, I'm so sad about it. I'm so this. I just can't take on, I can't be sympathetic to you right now. And I would be in any other instance, but I lost the only person where I thought, I don't know how to live in a world without her. And I don't want to. Like, that's, my sister was like the first person that I, like, that was like that deep of a thought. It's like, I cannot be supportive to you and your sadness right now because mine is so dark and so deep. I can't even respond to you right now. Maybe in another instance, I'd be more supportive, but it's like I don't have 1 ounce of sympathy for you right now, or like empathy, because I am so down bad. I don't think we're taught enough to control what you share. Honestly, in situations, and even more now with social media, it gets so much. And so I would just say, for me, watch what you trauma dump, and if you want to be helpful to someone, check your approach. But like, what is your experience with like trauma dumping and trying to be supportive? Either even doing it or just like what you received.
I definitely have done it and done it a lot unknowingly.
I know I have too.
Exactly the same situation of me trying to show that I relate to the person, but then over trying to communicate that, and then it takes away the point of what was being asked. And I think a couple ways of interfering with that is, hey, I relate to you. I've actually been through a similar situation, and here's what I learned. And that way you're not diving deep into the details of like pushing something emotional onto somebody else, but instead using that experience, if you do relate to that, and being like, maybe this will help you too. So it kind of shows that you're like actively listening. Because most times that's what really people want, is just to be listened to, especially in these like hard traumatic times of, and that is also something like not really taught anymore of actively listening to people. And I'm not saying I'm the best listener. I'm trying to like be better myself, but yeah, we do live in a society now, and especially with social media, where people feel like they can say anything they want at any time, anywhere. And especially in conversations of emotional weight, it's like there's a time and a place for that conversation. It's also like dependent on the person. Like there's definitely people I trauma dump to. Maybe you shouldn't have known about my whole life story. Maybe I should have kept that to myself. And just knowing like when I need to keep that to myself, and knowing like who and when and the appropriate times to share those things. Another thing, like I've gotten into hopefully a better practice. I say that and I'm probably could be a lot better, but I had a friend who, and I'm learning from her because she was so just excellent with like emotional regulation. But when she was going through something, she was like, hey, I just need to talk to somebody. I just want to know if you have the time or the space right now to hear something that's kind of heavy. And if you don't, that's okay. I respect that. But, and that was a really just cognizant thing to ask of someone, and to be like, hey, I'm dealing with something heavy and I need to share this, but you also might not be in the place to take that on. So I'm asking if this is okay to share with you. And if it's not, that's fine. I have another friend I can go talk to. I try to do that with my sister, because poor girl, anything outrageous happens in my day-to-day life, she's the first one to know about it. And so I've tried to be a lot better of like not using her as the
that's
emotional
hard,
crutch. To,
sisters are.
It is hard.
My sister was my everything. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what else are sisters for? Like,
exactly. You laugh, you scream, you cry.
Exactly. Like in 5 minutes, all that happens.
It does.
But as she's an adult now, and she's like dealing with her own life and her own problems, I've tried to be a lot better about, hey, something crazy has happened and I'm really emotional about this and I need someone to talk to. Do you have 5 or 10 minutes that I can talk to you about this? And then if you don't, that's okay. I'll call my brother because he's next up on the list. You know, and sometimes she's like, actually, no, I've had a bad day. Like, I don't think I'm going to be super helpful. Or other times she's like, yeah, let's talk. Like, what are you feeling? And I feel better knowing that I'm not burdening her with my emotional distraught now, because I've created a line of communication to know that she can put that on. And some people, I'm one of these people, you could tell me anything, like, distressing, and I take it in and then it rolls right off me. It doesn't weigh on me. I've learned that my sister is someone who like kind of takes it on and internalizes it. And I didn't realize like the things I was sharing with my sister that were heavy on me, that she was kind of taking that in and absorbing it, for me to not think like, oh yeah, she tells me stuff and I just let it roll off like water on a duck. It's no big deal. So I've never heard that phrase before. A duck, like it.
No,
yeah, they have like waterproof feathers.
I'm just like, never.
Is that a Southern thing? Maybe.
I mean, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Maybe it's not a thing. Maybe I made it. It's me. It's a Kindleism.
It's a Kindleism. Coined, trademarked.
Coined, patent pending, as we speak.
Yeah, patent pending. Sorry, were you saying anything else before I questioned your duck?
No, I think that was pretty much it. Water on the duck seals the deal. That's it.
It feels kind of hard to go to the next topic, which I feel is sad, but this is our closing topic.
Yeah, which is the cherry on top, I think, of all of it, is you go through these things in life and then you're realizing like these big moments that your person, your loved ones are not there anymore. So Like, we have the example here, weddings. Like, my cousin got married a month after my dad passed, and seeing her dance with her dad was one of the hardest moments of my life. I couldn't actually be in the room. I had to leave so I could cry. Yeah. But, like, I was so happy for her and just being such a beautiful moment, but then recognizing people like us aren't going to have those moments anymore. How do you navigate that in the future?
I think it's so hard because I think people just, like, don't even talk about it enough, how impactful it is that they're mm-hmm. people, when you lose them, they're not going to be in the yeah. in this stuff. And I just, like, I don't see enough conversations. It's just like my weddings, I don't dream about weddings anymore, you know, like, even having kids, I think I still want kids, but the thought was so much easier when I knew I had support.
Yeah,
you know, I always would joke, I would drop my kids off at my sister's house and that would be fine. All those things are just gone. And it's like, so even when I think yeah. of a wedding, I'm like, what type of wedding would I have that would not make me more sad than happy? And yeah. I don't know. I think it would have to be taking away a lot of the traditional elements of a wedding, which a lot of times I think some of them are boring anyway and take too long. So I'm not upset about a lot of them. But I think I would have to really strip down what the whole thing would be for me to be happy, and then find a partner that is okay, that understands that
yeah.
a traditional wedding doesn't appeal to me anymore. Walking down the aisle, like, made of, like, there's so much stuff. Even talking about it, it's like, it just makes me sadder than it does ever thinking about happy. And I think if you don't talk about it enough, people don't understand how different you feel about those things and those big moments. Yeah. And weddings are such a big one, but having kids too, not having a village and having kids really makes you question, do I want to have kids, right? If we're not talking about it enough, people don't know how to be even considerate of the fact that losing people rocks your whole freaking world and how you envision your future and just what you want and everything. Just the things that you used to look forward to or dream about, you dream differently about. And I think that's...
yeah.
really hard. And if people don't even see it from your point of view, they won't understand why you want to do something different or why you want to change things up. You just don't dream about things the way you used to, or don't care about things like you used to. So I think just having those conversations, because there's no solution on the missing out, but yeah. you need to figure out what works. And it's changing it up, because sometimes
yeah
the old model doesn't work for you anymore because you're also a new model of yourself. So you have to figure out how to merge those two, and it might not currently exist. And I think that's the harder part, because you have to figure it out. But I don't know, there's a model that exists, and it is going to be hard, and there's not a fix to that. But I do think it is figuring out what actually can be good for me, given mm-hmm. my situation. And I think that just takes extra effort, and you have to find the right partner for that too, I'd say, for a wedding, and but just for just big things in general, because people won't get having kids and stuff and kind of thoughts on it. You have to have an understanding partner yeah. for that too. So I think it's a sad one to end on, but I think start having those conversations with people that you love, and if you're in a relationship or anything, so people understand it is such a big difference. And it's just such a big change in your view and your life and how you envision your life. And that's really hard. So yeah. have those conversations with people, be open to it, and be understanding. Because just because you envisioned something was going to be a certain way and you still think it could be, it doesn't mean the person that, you know, is okay with that or can handle that. And it just takes a lot of empathy to handle those situations, I think, properly now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think of same thing, like us losing our people of support in our 20s, and then you look around and all your friends are getting married and having babies, and them having parents active in their life to support them in this transition and this next milestone and chapter. It made me realize, like, there's no way I could ever afford childcare without my parents involved. Yeah. Like, yeah. I simply can't have kids because I can't afford them, because I would have to have childcare. That's just a part of the conversation. I think the thing is really hard is kind of talking about you not being the same person before as you were before the loss. All your dreams are going to shift. I don't want to say shattered, because it can obviously still happen, of course. Yeah. It's just now more difficult. But I look at like my best friend and like her life trajectory, and she's got married and she's pregnant right now. And I think like my life just hasn't had the same like hand of cards, and I'm having to navigate a life a little differently than she. And I have to remind myself like not to compare where my life is to hers. That's really because hard. It is hard. Yeah. And it's very hard to remove that comparison and just to be genuinely happy for somebody. Now that I'm kind of out of like the very thick and worst of my grief, I can be in a place where I look at my best friend and be genuinely happy for the things happening to her in life. And like, these are the things she's always wanted. There's no one more deserving. But then having to recognize like, this is nothing to be said about me. Like I haven't done anything wrong. And exactly, you're right. I'd have to find a very understanding partner to recognize a wedding isn't going to be traditional in my eyes, because I certainly have, you know, male figures that could walk me down the aisle, but there's no one I want more than my dad. That is going to be a very emotional conversation. Unless my potential partner has great parents and actively involved in wanting to be a part of taking care of children, it can't just be me and this partner taking care of kids while also having two full-time jobs. That's not possible.
it's hard. Also, I think even if you can be happy, you get to the point where you can actually generally be happy for other people. I don't think it's also hard. You still have that ping of sadness.
Yeah.
And maybe even jealousy, and not even in a like a negative jealousy. It's just, that's your reality.
I wish I had that.
Yeah. It's not that you're jealousy in a negative way. Just even seeing like my friends go on family vacations and do hang out with their families on Sundays. I'm so happy that they have that. But and then it's that little shot of pain. I don't have that. You know, I don't can't have that anymore. And it's not anything against them. It's not anything negative. It just is. It's harder. It's a harder thing to deal with. And I think that's with that happiness and sadness. You can be happy for someone, but the reality of your life is still your reality. And that makes it hard.
It does make it hard. None of this is ever easy for all those listening. Like, none of this is easy. It's a lot of time and a lot of thinking and a lot of navigating.
But I hope people that are listening, you can see we did laugh a lot in this episode. And even though we talked about a lot of dark things, you still need the laughter. You still need those laughing moments and that joy. And you kind of have to find that balance. Even when we're talking about sad things, we can make light and still joke.
Yeah.
Even on the brink of tears. So I think you have to find that light amongst the darkness as well, and that's hard, but you have to welcome that in and be proactive about it. So we want it to be positive as well.
And it's easier with people. It is very hard to do that on your own, but even I have found this year having a support group and talking with Rachel, it in some ways it does kind of make it easier just on like the weight in my heart to be able to talk about this with somebody who gets it.
Talking about it so freely, I've never talked about so freely. I don't think most of these things I've said have escaped my mouth.
We are a no filter podcast over here.
Yeah. You get what you get and you don't go.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And we're not professionals. So
we're just professional grievers. So
just professional grievers. Like every episode, we end with a challenge. And this week's challenge is we want you to identify the biggest issue that you're facing with your grief right now. Now, that could look like anything. Rachel and I were kind of talking about all the potential things those could be prior to the episode. But that might be, is the biggest thing you're facing today or with your grief right now, is it the financial stuff? Is it the logistic part of grief that you have to handle? Or is it the funeral aspect? You know, all the images that come with having to do funerals. Is it this aftermath of like emotional turmoil that you're going through? Is it the fact that you're having a hard time coming to terms that you're a different person than you were before? Just being able to identify what's the biggest hurdle that you're confronting right now. And then I think identifying, are you in a place right now to take that on? Or do you need more time before you process that? I think that's another thing to like consider, is obviously with me and spirituality, it's something I'm still trying to figure out. And that will take time. That's not something I can fix overnight. Although if it's something logistical, like paying a bill for the hospital, that's something you can control and do. So what do you think about that challenge, Rachel?
I think it's good, because I think no matter where you are on kind of your journey and healing, I think it just sticks with you. So you have to figure out what are you having an issue with. And I think things that I could be having an issue with the most are probably envisioning that bright future and envisioning. I think we talk about like trying to like have that lucky girl syndrome, trying to manifest good things and positive things and welcome in opportunities and all those different things. And I think just having that kind of mindset and then also dreaming big for my future, I think I've had issues with because of just thinking about what's missing from my future, who won't be there to hit milestones. So I think for me, it's always working on my mindset and allowing myself to dream of the future and bring good things into my life when that's something that I have stopped in so many ways. So I think doing that is probably something that I'm dealing with right now that I want to work on.
I love that. Yeah. It's something I didn't even think about too. Like I'm kind of almost, something I didn't realize I'm also facing is how do you pick up looking towards the future again whenever.
Yeah. I think that's what's
kind of stop doing that.
Helpful about having friends that are dealing with the same situation is like sometimes you don't realize what you're going through until someone says it and you're like, oh yeah, that is something that I have an issue with or a deal with. So make grief friends, people. It's helpful.
Make grief friends. As Rachel said in the last episode, griefer friends.
Griefer friends. Yeah. New term.
It's in the vocab for the podcast.
Yes. Trademark.
Patent pending. As always, we'll have resources for those who need them in the show notes. So be sure to check those out. And every Tuesday, we'll have a new episode. So stay tuned. We love hitting on new topics. So you'll hear some more.
So how to join the club and hopefully you haven't lost someone. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube with Two Girls with Grief Pod. We'd love to hear your challenges or even if you have any questions and you just want an opinion of someone else grieving, email us with twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. All the information will also be in the show notes. And as a reminder, grief looks very different for everybody. So you might not resonate with anything that we said. You might resonate with one episode, not with the other. We're all different. We all process things differently. I think we're just trying to have more conversations about this to better understand it as a whole. And also for people to better understand it that have to experience grief. So if this 2-hour long episode didn't resonate, I'm sorry that you listened to the whole thing and nothing resonated. True. But so we'll see you next week, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.